Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hi, I'm Leonard Maltin.
And I'm Jesse Maltin.
And you're listening to Maltin on Movies, a special edition, no less.
That's right.
And one of the reasons it's special is because of, I guess I'm going to introduce in just a moment. Needs a little setup here, okay? Bear with me. Family history. Some nearly 30 years ago, I met our guest today. How? Because she was attending the same preschool as Jesse.
Discovery School represent.
Yes. And I also, my wife and I also met her parents, her very talented parents. And time goes by, and she launches an acting career and is pretty successful at it. And then we find out she's been working on a documentary, a true labor of love documentary about elephant rescue in Southeast Asia. And they're going to have a premiere showing here in Los Angeles at the Lemley Music Hall Theater, where it's playing right now, in Beverly Hills. And we're invited. And in fact, Ashley asks Jesse if she would do the Q&A panel afterwards.
Biggest mistake of her life.
And Jesse does a great job. I'm very proud of her. Mm-hmm. But Alice and I are worried. What if we don't like the film? We're going there. Not only we know its filmmaker, Ashley Bell, but we're friendly with her parents and have been for years. What do you do? What do you say? Where do you look? What hole can you dive into if you don't like the movie? Well, problem solved. We love the movie.
I was thinking, they didn't know where it was going
was
for a minute there.
For a
they
second.
Were like, and we hated it, and here they are. No, it's called Love and Bananas, and it's fantastic.
And let's formally introduce its director, Ashley Bell. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Huge concern about that, too, on my end.
Terrifying.
Definitely sent the Vimeo link of the film before with, like, a, you can just come, Jesse, maybe for the Q&A if you want.
Nope.
But I can't tell you.
I was all in.
Jesse, I truly can't tell you what it was, how much of an honor it was to have you all there that night. And then, Jesse, to kind of come full circle like this for you to host us in L.A., it meant so, so much.
Well, it was amazing, and also, of course, the audience's reaction. I did pretty well with the crying. I think I only had, like, 8 or 9 solid cries in there.
Cool.
And we were intertwined as a family. My mom's got his hat, I got his hat. We're all just, like, holding each other, and
we gasped together,
and we
choked up together. It's a very moving Very moving film. We'll talk more about it in just a minute. Why don't you introduce your colleagues, your companions today?
Yes. Well, in documentary, as you guys know, you wear tons of different hats. And from day one, I had the honor and privilege of partnering with a production company called Change for Balance Productions. Here with us today is John McCarthy, my co-writer, co-producer, editor, and cinematographer, and Roddy Tebatavai, co-executive producer and director of cinematography. These guys have been with me from day one when I gave them the phone call. That was like, hey, I heard about an elephant rescue. We got to go to Cambodia, like now. And they jumped. They jumped at the chance to tell this story because of the conservationist we work with, Lek Chiler. But it's been a privilege for the last 5 years that I've been doing this to collaborate with this team.
Now, I don't think we've given the title of the movie yet.
I did. I said Love and Bananas.
Okay.
We'll say it a whole bunch. Love and Bananas.
Love and Bananas.com.
Actually.
See, this is where I get kind of anal. Love ampersand
yes.
Bananas.
An That's elephant right. story.
But not if you're typing it into the website.
Correct.
It is Love and Bananas.
Because it's about
Love, but also bananas.
But also about
the
bananas.
Whole film's actually about bananas. It's nothing about elephant. I will say, my favorite moment in the movie, because I've thought about this a lot, is when you say the word dung. Because anyone listening to this, you have such a beautiful speaking voice. And I feel like at some point we'll be hearing her say, this is CNN. But she's that wonderful animation you guys have in your film, and you're talking about all the things that, you know, that nature, and you're just like, dung helps grow. And I was like, only Ashley could say dung, and nobody would be like, poop.
But my father, Michael Bell, coached that word many, many hours.
Oh, my.
I'm totally joking.
So funny.
So now, let's get a little origin story on the film, because you are a working actress.
Yes.
And you got a lot of acclaim for The Last Exorcism, mm-hmm. and you appeared in the sequel as well. But I mean, you got an Independent Spirit Award nomination.
Yes.
You got a lot of acclaim for that. I'm too wimpy to see films like that. No. So I felt embarrassed that I couldn't congratulate you on that. I'm making up for it on this one now. But so you're busy and you're trying to, you know, steer and pilot your career. What led to this?
Well, I'd always wanted to direct in huge mega air quotes, you mm-hmm. know, and I'd studied directing at Cambridge University and at NYU, but I always thought I would, again, huge mega air quotes, direct later in my life, and I did not think
the
it would...
The phrase is, but what I really want to do is direct.
Right. I never thought it would be a documentary, and I never thought it would happen then, but when I heard about the story of Lech Chilert rescuing these elephants, I was sitting in my parents' living room. It was the holidays, and it had taken... The email was from the founder of the Cambodia Wildlife Sanctuary, who said it had taken 10 years to find these elephants because there are so few left, and they've rescued the first two and are going to be releasing them onto the Cambodia Wildlife Sanctuary. And it just hit me to the core of my body, and I said, I've got to go. This is a short film. This is a happily ever after story. I've got to go do this. And I immediately called Change for Balance to pitch it to John and Roddy. And what I thought was going to be a happily ever after story was not. It was quite a grim scene. When we got there, there was illegal logging and poaching happening on the sanctuary, and the elephants were in horrible physical condition from years of abuse. But the conservationist Lech Chilert was standing there in the middle of it all, and I saw the footage on her iPad of what it took to get the elephants to the sanctuary. And it was the most, just iPad footage, harrowing, just...
That's the word.
Victorious, electric, raw footage I'd ever seen. And I said, no one's ever seen this.
Mm-mm.
This is the story. This is the story that is demanding to be told. And we asked, like, if we could go on an elephant rescue with her. And she said, if you can hang, you can come. And I was like, well, I'll figure out how to hang, but I'm coming. And that began it all.
And how did you Shanghai these two guys?
Yeah, right. Who drew the short straw?
You've got the passion. I mean, they seem curiously removed. No, they're in it as much as you are.
Yes.
You can tell from watching the film.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's, you know, Ashley and I, we've all been friends for a really long time, mm-hmm. and she knows that our passion is to tell stories that can make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. That's what drives us. That's what we feel like we're here to do. And we all believe in the power of cinema. I'm sure we all do, mm-hmm. to transform your life. You can sit down mm-hmm. in a seat. 75 minutes later, you can get up and you just look at the world a little differently. You
can we all just hang on? 75 minutes, folks.
Yeah.
75 minutes. We love things that are 75
yeah.
minutes. Please continue.
Yeah. And the pace moves well. And people have responded to that length. I mean,
yeah.
when we were, like Ashley mentioned, when we started, it was going to be a short. And then when we got there, we're like, whoa, this is way crazier than we ever thought. And we still weren't determined to make a feature. This story was going to tell itself in whatever length it was going to be.
Yeah.
It ended up being a feature. And we're really happy with that because it opened up the distribution methods for us.
Sure.
But, you know, it's our passion to tell stories that can make the world a better place. And so, you know, when Ashley introduced us to this world, it was just a no-brainer. You meet David, you meet Lech, and they lead with love and compassion and empathy, and they don't vilify these trekking camp owners who are doing what we conceive as the wrong thing, but it's the only thing they really know,
mm-hmm.
and it's the only thing that guarantees food on the table for them, which was their main concern. But as Lech slowly teaches them and shows them love and compassion, they transform and they change and they're happier, and that's what we believe in. Those are the messages that we want to get out to the world.
Yeah, but the thing is, we see it happening. We actually witness it, but not from a distance or through from an ivory tower distance.
Mm-hmm.
We're in there with you, the way you shot and cut the film, and the way you react, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're sort of our avatar. As the audience member, we feel like we're going through this, and I don't want to do spoilers because there are a couple
sure.
of things in the movie that are so wonderful that I don't want to describe them.
But I will say that one of the things that I think you did, obviously this is an episode of love and appreciation for you guys, but one of the things that I think you did so well was not vilifying people, because that's too easy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that it's really, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles. I have friends who are vegan. I have friends who are freegans. I have friends who are one of everything. And there are those people that you can't be around because they're going to tell you that everything you do is wrong.
Yeah.
And frankly, that doesn't get you anywhere.
Right, absolutely.
No one wants to be yelled at.
Yeah.
In the same way that if you kind of let someone introduce you to them as a person, which is what I think you do with quite a few of these people, even though you might at different points in the movie want to punch them in the face, because of what you're seeing in the abuse, you do understand that your first meeting with someone who owns a trekking company in the film, he seems like a very nice man. And he's standing there with his family, and you're going, oh, you're not a cartoon villain with smoke coming out of your ears and all that kind of, like, you seem like a very nice man.
And he's nervous. And,
of course he is.
And he's vulnerable and he's scared.
And he knows he's on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Roddy, what sold you on this idea?
Well, like John said, if there's a cause that we think we can contribute to and we see something that we can get out to the world, we get excited about that. For me, what was, you know, looking back, what's the most exciting about this is to see the audience and the people who watch this film transform. Mm-hmm. And we have almost a 100% success rating, minus one guy that Ashley can tell that story, but everybody sees this and says, not only have I learned everything that you guys are trying to tell me, but I'm going to tell all of my friends.
Yes.
And as filmmakers, as documentary filmmakers, that's what really excites us. That's what makes us want to make our next film, because we've seen how this film has had an incredible impact on the people who watch it. And I mean, we're excited about that and excited to see what it can do for these animals.
As you should be.
Yeah.
I mean, and we were in that test audience 100%. Last Friday night, and we passed. We passed that test.
And I told the audience that my fear, so I'm a major wimp with any animal violence, even cartoon. My dad can tell you. It doesn't matter what it is. I will run away. I won't see a movie. If I even see there's a dog in a movie, I'm one of those people that goes to doesthedogdie.com for everything, because I'm a wimp.
Sure.
I was really nervous.
Yeah.
And I said to Ashley, I'm scared. And my mom is the same way. I was like, I'm scared, because if it's too much, I don't know if I can take it. And she said to me, no, there's a little bit, because you do have to understand how bad it is. Mm-hmm. But there's not enough that it's not like self-flagellation. Like, it's not that kind of thing where you're watching and you're going, oh, no. And the way I keep describing it to friends, because I did have that reaction where I needed to go tell everyone I've ever met.
Fabulous.
Was, you know how when ASPCA commercials come on, we have to mute them?
Yeah.
I have to hide under something or find one of my dogs to cuddle and be like, it's not you. It's not. It's going to be okay. You hear Sarah McLachlan and immediately you shut down. You shut down. So to me, that is, all due respect to them, a fail. Because if I can't watch it, I can't donate or read about it. I can't do anything because I can't even get through your ad. To me, it's pointless in a sense. And again, it's no disrespect to them, because I understand they make this choice. They've shown those commercials since we were infants. So clearly they're sticking with them.
Right.
But to me, I can send someone to watch your film. And yes, there are moments that are upsetting, and I'm glad I have my dad next to me to dig my face into. But not so much that I can't watch the whole movie and get to the end and then want to go to loveandbananas.com and learn more and figure out what I can do. And that's an art form to find balance.
It was the biggest part. It was the biggest part of preparation kind of for it, was we watched every single animal film and kind of said, okay, great, let's not do that.
Yeah.
In the sense that we're standing on the as John has said so many times, we're standing on the shoulders of these giants, but it's been done. And as an experiment on our end, we wanted to try something different and a different approach. Mm-hmm. And we really, really, going back to the length, we wanted to make something that really connected with the youth, that could even be viewed on an iPhone or an iPad or in an airplane or something super accessible and transparent.
And so smart.
And going back to it, we wanted to make sure, you know, in looking at it, these films, we'd have a 90-minute film, we'd get to 88 minutes, and they'd say, we left with more questions than when we began. I was like, hold up.
Why?
We don't have time for questions. Mm-mm. We got these elephants are dying. Oh my God. What are we going to do? And I was panicking. And I was like, we need to have action items. We need to put something in people's hands to not feel paralyzed and just overwhelmed by a cause. And the whole goal was to keep eyes and ears open. How can you expect a film to make change if people are going to be too scared to take it in or be feeling right. like they're going to be blitzed by an image?
You also give us rewards along the way, the rewards of the victories. Mm. I mean, you also give us suspense. Again, I won't go into details. It would be unfair to audiences not to experience this.
They have to see
from
it.
From scratch.
They have to see it that way.
But, I mean, but there are victories here, and they are so inspiring. There are setbacks, there are failures, mm-hmm. and there is one lengthy experience where you're in the truck accompanying this 70-year-old blind elephant.
Yeah.
How many miles?
500 miles.
500 miles. This poor elephant has to survive in close quarters on an open truck without dehydrating, without having anxiety overtake mm-hmm. her mm-hmm. Because she's in a confined space and she doesn't understand why.
That's right.
And the heat is intense, mm-hmm. More intense for her, I guess, than for the humans, or maybe not. and it is an enormously involving sequence. I mean, you yeah. feel it.
Even just getting the elephant onto the truck.
Yeah.
That whole sequence. Yeah.
Well, all she knows of trucks at that point in her life is that it's going to take her to another place where she's going to be abused.
Another bad place.
So she just doesn't trust it. And she doesn't trust anybody. But
she has no reason to at that point. Yeah. She has no reason to do it.
Yeah. 70 years of continuous abuse.
So you guys have been friends, you told me, I think, since preschool or kindergarten?
Yes. Kindergarten. Since kindergarten, yeah.
That's amazing. So did you want to be filmmakers? Were you little kindergartners going, someday?
No, definitely not.
John was going to be a firefighter and I was going to be a brain surgeon.
And how is that going for you both?
We quickly changed course.
We quickly changed. Yeah.
I think we had something that we wanted to say. We had something that we wanted to express, and it just, the camera became a way for us to do it, you know? And these stories are what we're all about. And partnering with brilliant directors like Ashley is something that's so important to us to collaborate and work on it. And to your point about the little payoffs that we get, the little victories, it was a really rewarding experience of the writing process of working, because we got back from Thailand and Cambodia with just hard drives of footage. And so we slowly started to piece things together and then plant little seeds along the way that would be payoffs. And I mean, this is only 2 weeks ago that we first really saw it with like a public audience in Long Beach. And people were laughing and crying. And we were looking at each other like, what is going on? This is crazy. And then we went to New York and we were lucky to get some really good reviews. And then we sold out every show in New York. And it was just, it's been a really rewarding. And we got extended held over for another week. So.
Which doesn't happen.
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen
for
any
films,
let alone documentaries.
Hollywood Reporter said two trunks up. Which we were always hoping somebody would say two trunks up.
You're putting it out there. Someone please say two trunks
please
up.
Say this.
I just want you to do a music video with the Proclaimer song while you guys are on the truck 500.
Yes.
That's right. I don't want to say you missed a trick, but I think you missed a trick.
So Roddy, how did you prepare to shoot this extended sequence with the elephant on the truck for 500 miles?
You know, we all came together and chatted with, we wanted to originally shoot everything on all red, but we knew that we were...
Which is red, for those who don't know, it's a digital camera.
Red digital cinema cameras, yes, and... We knew that media, because you know, shoots upwards of 5 or 6K, or at that time, and they just consume batteries and media cards, and we were on that truck, and I think we exhausted almost all of our cards and batteries when we were almost all said and done when we got back to Elephant Nature Park. So we knew that we had to plan for those types of scenarios. We were told it could be monsoon season and it could start raining with no end in sight out of nowhere. So there was a lot of things that we had to take into consideration. And John, Ashley, and myself, we sat down and came up with a pretty strict plan, But then we also knew that we were going to have to bend that plan, which we did quite a few times and pulled out an umbrella and trash bags.
It's pretty crazy.
And
when you arrive home with like half a battery left, it's like, wow, this worked out.
Yeah.
And there was one thing that we always knew, and that was that, you know, in talking a lot with Ashley, was that we wanted it to be entertaining. You know, we didn't want sit-down interviews, talking heads. We wanted to immerse people in the experience, like you picked up on, Leonard, which was awesome. And not necessarily tell people anything, but just show them something. Yeah.
Showing is always better than telling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we couldn't be preachy because that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, some people think it does, but they're usually wrong.
Yeah, but the goal was very much to be in, you know, Lech Chilard opened up her whole world to us, and she trusted us, this conservationist that we work with.
Well, conservationist seems too narrow a word to describe this woman.
Of Mother Teresa's cousin.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She is simply remarkable, not only for what she does and what she has achieved in her single-minded determination to save elephants, and has for many, many years now, but she's also smart and charismatic and patient and all the qualities you want as a subject for a film.
Yes.
She is as much the core of this film, the heart of this film, she's as much as the elephants.
Absolutely.
It is a trip, though, to see her with some of the technology stuff, because you are in the middle of what looks like nowhere.
Yes.
Beautiful nowhere, but not a whole lot around.
Yeah.
So seeing her get out that iPad or get her phone, and you just sort of like, well, so this is different.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to watch her work and what she has to do. And you do tell us in the film that, and we kept talking about this at home, that this is the most brilliant part, follow the money. Because how do you change people's minds sometime? They may not just want to be kind.
Yeah.
They may not just want to be charitable.
Right.
Sometimes if you show them, you can actually make more money doing it this way. And then she sets up schools, and she sets up a whole, like a little microcosm, and gives people, make sure that everybody there has jobs. Like, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's, you know, even going back to her filming things with iPads briefly, she's always used, because she's on the front lines every day fighting to save this species. So she's used from day one cameras and has had a media team with her. And now, as things have become more digital, her iPad with her at all times. In whatever, the more dangerous the situation, the faster she has her iPad out or is recording on a DSLR hanging around her neck, because she uses media as evidence and as proof. We landed in a very tricky situation the first trip around. We thought we were cleared to land on a Cambodia military base. We had taken a helicopter up to see deforestation on the land, and we landed, and we were quickly surrounded by the Cambodian military in army fatigues. Army fatigues, Rolex watches, flip-flops, and AK-47s, which is also a great look for spring.
Yes,
Cambodian Fashion Week.
Cambodia's Fashion Week. Cambodia Belma, yeah. I looked over at Lech, and Lech very, very, very subtly had her Canon, like DSLR, around her neck with her hands.
Digital single reflex camera.
Thank you. With her hands on top of it, and she looked over at me and she said, through a smile, "Keep filming. If they kill us, we'll have proof." It was quite possibly the scariest thing.
Yeah, that's
I never.
She really harnesses the power of social media. Like her Facebook page is the hub of what's going on in Southeast Asia.
Spell her name, please, so people can find her.
Lech Chilard, L-E-K-C-H-A-I-L-E-R-T. And Lech means tiny in Thai.
She is.
Under 5 feet. She's like 4'11", I want to say.
She is in every other sense a giant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huge.
She really is.
Yes.
Huge.
And that was the intention. You know, the intention was to get Lech's message out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Ash, like you said, is the audience that leads us through. And we were very careful to make sure that Ash wasn't actually really saying anything other than Lech's message. Lech told us to do this, and then Lech showed us that, you know, and that's what it's all about, because Lech is the hero.
We did not go in with any kind of an agenda or an objective. We couldn't. There were already 15,000 red flags starting it. And originally in the first shoot, I did not want to be in it at all because I thought, what in hell do I have to contribute? This is Lek and this is the elephants. And when we looked at the footage of kind of, we were trying to start piecing together what we thought could be a short, or were we going to go in a full, you know, I'm impatient, so I was like, we've got to make something work. and in looking at it, we found there needed to be a bridge for the audience. And actually, I was doing a play on Broadway called Machinale, and it was a 1920s experimental play. And our director, Lindsay Turner, was talking about taking the 1920s text and keeping authentic to it, but yet modernizing it to connect to a contemporary audience. And this is obviously a way, way trickled down, smaller version of that. But the goal was to have a bridge for the audience, somebody who was them asking the questions they would ask. And when it came down to it, once there was that role with that objective and I could serve a purpose, then it made sense to do something. But in no way in hell was I going to shove myself into this mix because I'm standing with giants and I thought I had absolutely.
No, you serve a very real purpose. Right. You are that link.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You are that link. I mean, people who don't know you, don't know your background, might not know you're an actress.
Absolutely.
Might not know anything about
you. You're just Jane
Goodall. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
As long as I served that function, then it made sense to put me in. But up until then, even in the editing room, I was like, just take me out as much as possible.
Yeah, there's no vanity project here. It's a specific purpose.
And then through the spirit of it, that's all Lek and how she's worked and also learned to work over the 2 decades she's been working on the front lines with elephants. She works with such hope, and she now knows how to communicate to trekking owners. And she knows the whole landscape of everybody who's doing what in Southeast Asia. Mm. She has a pulse on it all. And her ability to now work with these trekking camp owners and get them to convert into a humane sanctuary, yes, by talking to them through finances, if that'll be the trigger, she'll do it, because she said she works for the elephant, to paraphrase.
She cares about the result.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Which, and she's had some recent success since we filmed.
31 trekking camps have turned into humane sanctuaries now, since filming.
For the benefit of our audience, most of them haven't yet seen the film.
Right.
We will reveal this much, I think. What's wrong with the trekking camp?
What is a trekking
camp? What is a trekking camp and what's wrong with it?
For sure. A trekking camp is elephant riding, and it's a very, very popular attraction for when tourists go to Southeast Asia. Immediately what's offered is an elephant ride. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people through the course of filming, they've gone, oh, I love elephants, I rode one. Or, oh, I love elephants, I bought an elephant painting. But what they're not aware of is that every single captive Asian elephant in the world, Asia, United States, globally, has gone through something called the crush box. And this is the bit of graphic footage that we show that was given to us, entrusted to us by Lek, which is where, you know, warning ahead of time, an elephant is taken and put in a box, tied up as a baby.
Separated from its mother.
Separated from its mother at birth, and is beat straight for 24 hours for a week until the bond between the elephant and the mom is replaced by the fear of man and the fear of a bull hook or whatever tool man is using to exert dominance. If it doesn't work in the first week, it's repeated. And after that process, they go into a camp where they're taught to ride or paint or stand on balls or play polo, whatever. So that's the situation that Lek has been fighting for 20 years to raise awareness about. She risked her life to get that footage on the front line and to film what it takes to turn a wild animal. There's no such thing as a domestic elephant. That happens through breeding, and that will never happen with an elephant because they are wild. And that's kind of that's the heart of it all for Lek.
Well, it must have been an enormous relief to her when Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey announced a couple of years ago that they were no longer going to feature elephants at the circus. And as a kid who grew up, I'm older than you guys, as a kid who grew up going to see that circus, that specific circus, mm-hmm. every year when it came to New York City.
There you go.
I mean, big feature of the show.
Yes.
The trained elephants.
Yeah.
And so it almost doesn't make sense, part of me says, wait a minute, that's you know, it's tradition. That's part of what a circus is. Well, it doesn't have to be, does it?
And then you see that footage.
Yeah, and then you see that footage. You
shatters
know,
into a
oops.
Bunch of, even you talking about it, you know, it hurts. And I don't know anybody who would watch that and say, no, I'm still cool with it. It's fine. And if you can, then we have to talk. We have to have a serious conversation. But it is amazing because learning. So the thing about, say, the trekking camps is what she's doing is she's going and saying to them, you can actually make more money changing your trekking camp into a sanctuary. And then again, she goes,
tourists will want to come and see that.
Exactly. Yes. And so, wait a minute, you can actually care for the animal in a good way and not beat them senseless and torture them because that's awful. And as I say, some of the footage, you're just like, you want to reach in.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine you guys being there for some of that and having to restrain yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I thought about a lot. I think, you know, you can't help it. You get a production mind. And so a lot of times I was going, where are they? Trying to figure out where you two were as you're on a truck and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, where did they put them? Where are the boys?
Back to what Ashley was saying in the beginning, and John, how Lek doesn't vilify these people. She can stand in the presence of these people and not judge them and capture this footage on her iPad. And remember, David was telling us a story about the poacher that they caught, and they were going to punish him, and Lek pleaded with the officials to not punish him and to let her speak to him. And she gave him a job, is that correct? And employed him, and now he is helping fight for what she believes in. So it's incredible, using honey.
And Lek has even said, she said the last week she was in town, she said, a lot of animal rights people love animals, but they hate humans.
Which is fair.
Yeah, and she said we can't afford to do that.
Yes.
Pardon me, I'm paraphrasing, you know, she says we have to work with everybody, and it's a matter of education.
Well, that's part of her.
That's why she's successful.
That's part of her wisdom. That comes across.
Yeah.
She is wise, but she's also savvy.
Mm. Yeah.
And those don't always coincide.
Yeah. Yes.
It's also amazing how she doesn't panic, which is pretty incredible. And of course, I'm watching you with, in my mind, going, okay, she's sitting over there, so she's fine. But in my head, I'm going, if that thing crushes her, holy cow. And I kept saying holy cow watching the movie, and then started changing it in my head to holy elephant. Because all these moments of like, it could fall over. And you're like, please don't fall over on my friend.
Yeah.
It's just a knockout. But even then, she'll say, okay, back up. Okay, everybody back up. Okay, everybody back away. Hey, Roddy, you're about to be chased into a closet by an elephant, which is the first time. We don't get to see you two very much. There's one shot of you for a second, and then Roddy's crowning moment. Not getting killed by an elephant.
That was a special spoiler.
I know.
Well, it was important for us, and this is really, Ashley was fought for anything that had any little piece of comedy.
Yeah.
Anything that could get a laugh or just lighten the mood a little bit, it was in,
no matter what.
Almost structure the movie around that.
Yes.
I don't want to give anything.
Well, your voiceovers are different moments. Particularly, and I'm sharing Roddy having to run just because we don't see you other than that scene.
Yeah.
And again, with your beautiful voice coming over and saying, our cameraman was just chased into a closet. it's just so good. And you do need the levity. You need it.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
Otherwise, again, your heart's breaking. This is
and life is full of absurdities. You know, it's not predictable. You couldn't have written an outline of what your film was going to turn out to be because you didn't know.
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
And I think that comes through as well. We realize you are, dare I say, shooting from the hip.
Mm-hmm.
You're just following the path as it unfolds before you. And you got lucky too.
I felt very much that even on days when we had an agenda, where we were like, we need to get this bit of content or this soundbite, we'd go out, into the sanctuary with 20 wild elephants, and we're like, Lek, can we pause? And it just would not happen. Like right. those elephants were like, no, you're on our terms. We will tell you the story we want you to hear and see.
And there's a reason why we have Noina listed, one of the top billed on our IMDb.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
she really brought it. And all the elephants, they put on just A-level
performances.
Noina is
a 70-year-old blind
yes.
elephant.
Otherwise, yes, Noina. Yes. Yeah.
Well, when it was time to register the film, it was like on my top priority to get Noina an IMDb page. So that exists.
Oh, it's absolutely, if you look it up on IMDb, there's your face.
Oh, yeah.
There's Leck. And then there's Noina. And my favorite part. Now, I will say she doesn't have a photo yet, though.
I know.
I got to get this photo up
this
there.
This week.
And I hope it's I hope one of you got like a glamour shot. That's what I hope, is that one of you, like, just, like, over the shoulder, you know, a little something, a little flavor, a little sass. Yeah. Oh, she's so, oh, God. Now, all
amazing.
Of them, they have such personalities. And watching Leck with them, of course, you do not want to, I say you, as we as humans, we're not supposed to hang out with these animals up close. We're not supposed to touch them. You know, as much as we want to, every time you see something online, you know, like in India where you can go and pet the tigers kind of a thing, it's and they're drugged to hell.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, all of us. My husband loves going to the zoo and to the aquarium. It's his greatest joy in life. And I've gotten to take him now to Shambhala here, which was incredible. I've gotten to take him.
Shambhala is the preserve.
Tippi Hedren.
Tippi
yep.
Preserve.
Got to take him on a sunset safari. Which is just walking around there as the sun sets, and these animals are looking at you like, I'm gonna make you my dinner. And it's incredible.
What kind of animals do they have there?
It's all cats, it's all big cats.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's all big cats that definitely can look into your soul and like scare the ever loving crap out of you. Seeing them at night, especially because that's when they're most active.
Yeah, they're
oh, there was a couple that like, they were absolutely just like, let me out for a second, let me out and I'll say hi. And you're like, no, I'm good actually. But it's incredible, and they made that movie.
Yes.
Is it
made
called
a movie
Roar?
Called Roar, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a fascinating place. You can look it up, Shambhala. The Sunset Safaris are part of their fundraising campaigns. They talk about how much money it costs to handle that space every day, and it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. If you're ever in L.A. or California, you can get a chance to go to Shambhala. You should. They care, and they know what they're doing.
Many years ago, I met Tippi Hedren for the first time, had a nice chat with her.
Wow.
And I said, well, I'm going to bring my daughter for sure. She said, no.
No
children.
Mm-mm.
Children are like...
too edible.
Yeah, too edible, exactly.
Wow.
So.
For sure.
Yep.
You can't, the thing is, like, you can't touch them, but you're pretty damn close to these. You can be 5 feet away, depending on which animal it is and how they feel about people.
Yeah.
They used to walk free. That's the whole thing, is that she had them in her house. There are photos of Melanie Griffith growing up with them sleeping in her bed with lions and tigers and bears on my in her bed. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can look it all up. But we've been there. We've been to the Wildlife Center here in Sylmar, which all their animals there, they have two bald eagles who were hit by cars, and that's why they have them there, because they cannot be in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
But so we do make an effort to only go to places where the animals are there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very tricky, I think, for anyone.
Yeah.
If you're given the opportunity, if someone says to you, do you want to ride an elephant? I would think most people would say, absolutely, I want to ride an elephant.
Yeah.
What an incredible thing to get to do. I don't know. I can't imagine seeing them in person like that and seeing how beaten up they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then getting on one in the same way that, did you ever do Birthright?
I didn't, no.
I did Birthright, and you know, they have all these camels everywhere in Israel.
Right.
And you can get on a camel. I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I refused to do it because they just looked miserable and I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
And I got in trouble for not wanting to do it. And I was just like, I can't. I'm really sorry, but I can't do
it. A little lesson for anybody who wants to do that. What you do is imitate Peter O'Toole and Lawrence of Arabia and say, hut, hut, hut. That's how you advance a camel. That's how you get him to go.
And we like to say, you know, if you were to come across an elephant in the wild and you tried to jump on its back and just go for a ride, it would be the last thing you ever did.
Right.
Because, you know, they have to, like, the crush box, they're beaten so severely that they don't have their wild instincts anymore.
Right.
And they're just scared of being beaten again, so they'll let you do whatever you want.
Right.
Wow.
And, you know, in terms of the like, Elephant Nature Park, you know, when Lek gets these elephants, we talk about elephants don't forget, right?
Right.
And they don't forget their loved ones, they don't forget their herd and their herd mentality, but they never forget the abuse that they go through. So when they're rescued, they have mental issues, they have traumatic stress, they've been separated from their families, they're lonely, they have anxiety. And so Lek just needed to rescue them. That's all she knew, you know, and that's how she built Elephant Nature Park.
Right.
And we've had organizations that haven't wanted to support us because of the interaction that happens there. But Lek's in the process of building and evolving Elephant Nature Park to a place where there is no human-elephant interaction. The most you see is from a couple hundred feet away.
Right.
And it's not, you know, so that's where it's going.
Well, and that's the thing is that when you are with them, Ashley, you are with Lek.
Yes.
So to me, and even then, you're comforting them because you have to. Because otherwise, why the hell would they want to be around another person?
There you go.
You know, and you do have to for their sake.
Yes.
You have to help them understand that humans are not evil so that as you rescue them, they'll let you. They'll let you rescue them, and they'll let you help them, giving them an IV, which was wild to watch, you know, trying to give them nutrients. Or in the case of some that are injured, they have to be okay with people helping them. But that is a big difference. There's a difference between helping them and just wanting to go hang out.
Yeah.
Which, again, I get, because watching this, I was just like, I can't imagine being that close. I can't.
Well, the time I removed a thorn from that elephant's, you know,
get out.
Foot.
Get out.
He would follow me around get like out. A puppy for years.
Can't
you don't
take
remember
it.
That?
Can't take it
there,
anymore.
There's one elephant at the sanctuary, or a couple, that haven't been broken. The baby, my favorite one.
Yeah, Navon.
Navon. And something that I didn't capture that I'm still kicking myself for is Navon gave John a nice kick to the shin.
Yeah.
That kind of sent him flying. But they were like, hey, watch out for Navon. Don't get too close to Navon because he's not broken. You know, like he's a wild elephant. So it's just that when they're not under, I mean, John was going to say, he said they choose to forgive when they're on the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
and that's what's remarkable. I mean, we have a lot to learn from them. But yeah, they move slow. Even Noinak gives a little kick in the film, but it's kind of like that, like just a boom. And I'm just tapping Ash here just a little bit. But you feel like your leg's going to shatter completely.
Right.
You almost forget how big they are and they're just how strong. And they have these soft padded feet, like Ash always says. So they kind of like sneak up on you.
When you said that, all I thought was Prius. You were describing,
totally.
One of the first questions I asked you was what is it like to be around an elephant? And you were like, well, they're soft feet, they're really quiet, so they sneak up on you. And I was like, so you're saying that elephants are the Prius of the animal kingdom? Because I just had this image in my head of this elephant like, oh hey, like, oh. But
yeah.
I mean, they're what my mom and I felt was, you know, it's like when you see dogs who have been abused and yet they still love people, and their little tail still wag, and they still want to love you. I felt like with the elephants, like, even though, again, human interaction is not ideal, they love Lek, and they get it.
Yeah.
But they're still wild animals.
Yes.
But they have chosen, is exactly chosen is the word, they've chosen to forgive, because for what they've been through, they could very easily just say, nope, no, no, nope,
yeah.
nope, nope, don't like you.
One of my favorite things that Lek just says is when Noina, the elephant we rescue, is meeting the new herd, and she says it actually all the time, but we caught it. Here she goes, oh, these people, meet these people. And she regards elephants as people, and she treats them with dignity and respect, and because of that, they find it within themselves to trust her and somehow forgive.
At least one person.
Let's get to some nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Where is your film playing, and where will it continue to be seen?
This week, 11 Bananas is going to be at the Lemley Music Hall for the rest of the week. And then if you go to
Here in Beverly Hills.
That's here in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills. And then if you go to lovinbananas.com/screenings, our screening tab, you can see where we're rolling out throughout the country. It's been really exciting. Fortunately, new bookings for screenings have been coming in, so people are demanding it in their communities, which is really nice.
Yes.
Also, a big part of the film was to launch an impact campaign. So also on the website, we just wanted it to be this easy hub for people to just start getting familiar with things. So just you know, back to the website, there's also an option for community screenings. So if it's not playing at a theater near you, you can reach out to our impact producer and set up a community screening at your university, your school, library, organization, or even a home screening.
And then Ashley will be doing a Q&A at our screenings in Virginia this weekend, Charlottesville, Virginia. I think Westchester is one of them. And then at the end of the month, all of us and Leck will be in Northern California, the 25th in Berkeley, the 26th in San Francisco, and the 27th in Sebastopol.
And also a one-week run in Long Beach.
Yes.
Starting on the 18th to the 24th.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
For our Go Bananas tour. Yeah.
Go Bananas! Hashtag Team Banana.
Hashtag
Team Banana.
We'll be in Priuses.
Right?
Go friendly.
You'll never hear us coming. Talk a little bit, you guys, about Change for Balance.
Yeah, so Roddy and I started this company, and it's just our goal, it's our life's mission to tell the stories of individuals that are making the world a better place. So Leck Chilert is just an incredible story, and those are the types of stories we want to tell. We just released a documentary that premiered at the Newport Beach Film Festival on last Monday about a professional surfer and undefeated mixed martial artist, a guy named Dustin Barca, who found out about the chemical testing for the genetically modified food industry that was happening on Kauai. A lot of members of his community started to get sick, and so he started to learn more. He started a march, started to educate people. It culminated in him running for mayor, taking on the corrupt politician, going head to head, kind of revealing everything that was going on. We documented it for 5 years. And then we had a premiere in Hawaii, and then we had a Newport Beach premiere, and now we're just kind of going through some film festivals with that.
Wow.
And we're developing
some. And the name of that film again?
It's called Aloha Aina Warrior. Mm-hmm. And that's a warrior who fights for the land. And it's a similar message. It's a message that we want to tell, where an Aloha Aina warrior is not somebody who fights against somebody. It's someone who stands up to fight for something they love. Mm. And that's a very subtle but huge distinction.
It's huge, yes.
Yeah, it's a huge distinction. And that's what Leck does. And that's everything that we want to support. And that's what we're all about.
How many films have you guys made?
This is our first feature-length film, Love and Bananas.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was an honor to do it with Ashley. I mean, she's mentioned that a lot of people wear a lot of hats when it comes to documentary films and just filmmaking in general, but nobody wore more on this one than Ash, and she's the reason why we're here today.
So. Who was crafty?
Oh, we had 300 pounds of bananas a day for those gray ladies.
Leck
was crafty.
I mean the food at Elephant Nature Park.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Number one, elephants, but number two, the food.
Best food.
Oh my gosh.
So literally Leck, Mother Teresa of elephants, Jane Goodall of gray ladies. Then lunch comes. She's in the kitchen making a vegan meal. That's quite possibly the best thing I've ever had in my life. Yeah. And that's what she does. Like, there's no part of her that isn't just, I don't know. There's no way to explain how she works, because it seems effortless. It's not, but every single action she takes is outward. And I've never, if anybody had just a speck of, if everybody had a speck of Leck in them, it would be a different world.
Mother Teresa of gray ladies is pretty great. Like, it's pretty great.
Sorry, I was just riffing on this too.
But it's so good. It's so good. So
I have my nervous pillow. I'm just talking out of my mouth hole.
Just for the record, are you still acting?
I am still acting. Yeah, I have a film. I have a film called The Swerve that I did last July in Virginia. That's just finished post and is going to start its film festival round coming up in these next couple months. And then I did a really cool short with this up and coming director, Jacqueline Bethany, that actually I'm going to do her first feature in 2 months in Montana. I'm really excited to do it. She's really, really cool. Awesome director. And I also wrote a book about the process of kind of making Love and Bananas.
Oh, that's right. See the movie, read the book.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
He just kept saying this to her the other day. See the movie, read the book. See the movie. He just kept doing it.
It's what they used to do with paperback tie-in novels.
Yeah.
See the movie, read the book.
Oh, my gosh. It's, I didn't go to film school. I went to NYU for acting. And through the last 5 years of doing this, I'd kept an active an active notebook on everything that it took to put this together, and also on the distribution side of things and dealing with legal and all of that. And I've luckily had fabulous mentors because I'm an actress and because I have access to talk to some people. But what about people that don't? So I assembled all my notes into this ebook called Shoot It, Sell It, Show It, How I Made an Independent Film with Grit and Google, which I'm still getting used to saying the title. And it's everything, all the tips and bits of advice and everything I've learned over the last 5 years for first-time filmmakers or aspiring filmmakers, so that they will still have gas in the tank to do their second film.
Right.
So, yeah.
Which is important, because filmmaking
can get beat up.
All of it, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. It's a lot to do. Luckily, obviously, you guys are trying to make things that matter to you, mm-hmm. which is the goal, obviously. But at times, we also all just need to work.
Right.
And that's where you have to find that happy medium where you're not working and killing yourself to the point where you're not getting to do the passion stuff.
Absolutely.
And I think everyone goes through it, regardless of what it is that you do. It's very easy to get tangled up in work and not get to do the stuff that makes you happy.
Yeah.
So it's important to sort of have a sense, and any advice you can get is useful.
And there are a lot of gatekeepers, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And people that overcomplicate it. And fortunately, you know, definitely through the process of doing this, John and I have both been pitching this hard to anybody that would listen. And a lot of people find the tops of their shoes or the wall behind me, you know, and it only takes that one yes. And when you get it, thank God all the people that gave you the no did, because your project never would have rooted in that. Either the company was going through an overhaul, or it wasn't a fit, or anything like that.
Well, that's probably hard-earned philosophy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, try to tell this to me like sobbing and kicking my feet.
And it was a couple of years of that. I mean,
this
is just 2 weeks that we're experiencing this with a live, real audience. But it's been
Seriously.
6 years of a lot of tough stuff.
If we've learned anything from your USC class specifically, it's half the time. And that's why it's so important to me that the kids learn this, mm-hmm. is that half the time you have someone sit down and they go, well, I started this 11 years ago. And it's like, I'm sorry, you what? Because a lot of people, they don't know.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Not knowing is okay.
Of course.
Sure. But you got to learn.
Yeah.
And very little, much like there are very few waitresses who will get discovered.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with all this other stuff. You have to kind of just put it all out there. And eventually, hopefully something comes of it.
And just incidentally, we had a great time with Melissa Leo. Talking about Novitiate last year, and you had a nice part in that.
Yep. Thank you so much, Leonard.
I know you told me there was more.
Oh, I mean, working with Maggie Betts, the director of Novitiate, and Melissa. I mean, I met Melissa for the first time when I was nominated for an Independent Spirit Award, and I'd done a pilot presentation with her producing partner, Adam Davenport. So I'm sitting at the Independent Spirit Awards with my mom, and Adam and Melissa Leo walk by, and I meet her, and she looks at me, and she's like, you could play my daughter. And I just, you know, died on the spot.
You're like, yes, I can. You're right. Let's do it.
Water just, I just fell out of my mouth. I was like, you know, Melissa Leo. And then, you know, jump cut, like a bunch of years later, Adam was in New York. We met up, and he's like, that still needs to happen. I was like, please, you know, desperate actor alert. And he calls me, and he's like, they're trying to put together a project that Melissa was doing, and they're going to have a reading at CAA, like literally Thanksgiving weekend. And he said, would you come in to read for Melissa's daughter, you know, as part of this reading? I was like, absolutely.
No,
I have no life. That's where I am.
No,
done.
No, can't do it. Don't care.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Don't care. Yeah. I'm going to be. I was like, I'm there.
You're
right. I'm like, I'm actually in a car on the way to the airport right now. So I'd done this reading, and Melissa's, we reconnected, and she said, there's a project called Novitiate I'm going to do. You should put yourself on tape for this.
You look like a nun. Let's get in this. That's what that was.
It was so generous of her to even say that, to suggest it. She's a brilliant actress. She's been so kind to me. I mean, her performance in that just paralyzes you. It's so good.
She's so good.
In anything she touches, to watch her even do this reading was just, it was everything. And the way she works, the way she set up the environment, the table, the everything, mm-hmm. it's just her. And it was really an honor to be at the table.
I was intimidated having her sitting with us. I can't imagine actually trying to do something in front of her. I was struggling to speak.
Yeah,
I can't imagine
what happens.
Yeah. She kept, this is completely random, but she kept pointing out all of the rainbow things on me. So we're like halfway through and I'm terrified the entire time because I'm just like, you're Melissa Leo.
Right.
And she's going, oh, your nails are rainbow too. And I'm like, yes, yes, they are, Melissa Leo. Everything on me is rainbow. Thank you, Melissa Leo. She just kept doing it. Oh, the memories.
Yeah. She's so cool.
Well, all right. Just one last time. The film is called Love and Bananas with an ampersand.
With an ampersand, yeah,
but
yeah.
But the website is loveandbananas.com.
And you've got an Instagram, mm-hmm. and you can go to Lex's Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's all over the place, and we will have we'll have all of these links in the description of the podcast, so you can find it that way too.
Great.
One last thing I want to ask you is, you guys were just at the LA Zoo, so just again, because a lot of zoos nowadays are making a point of telling us that they're better, and it's not like it used to be. But because you were there specifically, and that is obviously our local zoo, mm-hmm. can you tell me a little bit about that, please?
Absolutely. Our executive producer and founder of the Cambodia Wildlife Sanctuary, David Castleman, is an LA-based trial attorney, and he's works a number of cases, but he's been working pro bono to get Billy out of the zoo for the last 10 to 15 years. And the Los Angeles Zoo has killed about 14 of their elephants. Billy right now is suffering from abscesses, arthritis. He's overweight for an elephant because the LA Zoo was given millions of dollars to redo their Asian elephant exhibit to give them acreage, these elephants, to move and walk around.
Yeah.
And they instead have redone it, a lot of the area, but they've hotwired all of the greenery. So the elephants actually can't get it. So Billy is confined to an area of soil. And when you're an elephant, elephants' bodies are meant to move long, long distances and migrate. With him standing there on that soil, it just compacts the soil. And an elephant in zoos, actually, the number one killer of elephants in zoos are arthritis and abscesses in the bottom of your feet. So right now, David has been trying to get Billy out of the zoo. There's Billy and three other female elephants there.
Yeah, I was there not that long ago, and we saw all of them.
Yeah. He's taken this case to court. He's taken it to the Supreme Court to be retried. I think it got thrown out on standing was that somebody can't represent an elephant.
Yeah. Who are you to represent?
Who are you? Have you met our friend Noi Na? Because let me tell you.
So still he's working tirelessly. David's actually got a bunch of new things up his sleeve with Love and Bananas having come out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are actually coming forward in a major way to help him with this cause and mainly make a lot of noise around it. We've partnered with the Greater Good, a phenomenal organization.
Yeah, they are.
That launched the Love and Bananas Fund, inspired by the film, but is also going to be teaming up with David for some stuff that's kind of been like batting back and forth aggressively on an email chain over the last couple of days. So they're really. In regards to the LA Zoo, they're not taking care of their Asian elephants, and they're not taking care of Billy. And with a lot of zoos, they say they are. I'm not a zoo expert, but they say they are working towards conservation, but the numbers just aren't there towards actual money being raised by zoos for conservation. So
there's some food for thought.
Yeah.
And plenty of resources online. And the Elephant Guardians of Los Angeles are doing incredible work to free Billy. So you can just check them out on their Facebook group. Has plenty of resources where you can learn everything.
Great.
Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah.
We don't want to end on a down note.
No.
Because there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of optimism. And your film captures the optimistic side of the story.
Yeah. Thank you.
Not unrealistic.
Mm-mm.
Not Pollyanna-ish. grounded in facts and in happy results, positive results.
Thank you.
So this is not a downer.
No.
This is quite the contrary.
And to end on that, a lot of people ask Lek, they say, you know, will Asian elephants become extinct? And she pauses. And we've actually asked a bunch of the researchers that are working on the film this. And they said, every single day there are people on the front lines working and risking their lives to save Asian elephants. Not on our watch.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
God bless them.
Yep. And you guys at home can be a part of this. And you can learn what you can do, because it's hard sometimes to feel helpless. It is. And I think it would be difficult to go to a parent who takes their kid to the zoo on a regular basis. They want to show them animals. They want to introduce them to animals. You don't want to say, no, bad, no animals for you. But there are options. And there are ways to do it that help. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking for. We're not looking to yell at people. No. We're looking to help and to teach.
Yes.
When you know better, you do better.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks once more. And we know where to find you.
Yes.
I hope, I hope people will take that opportunity to learn and learn to do better. Gosh, it's going to be dull just talking about movies again.
Yeah, I know, right?
Golly, what a come down. Well, we'll work on some good content, won't
and,
we?
And you can go to leonardmalton.com for the review of Love and Bananas, but also we will link this podcast. You can also just go to leonardmalton.com if you'd like to read other reviews of films. and perhaps even find some articles about music. Leonard has many, many, many things that he likes to talk
books,
about.
Books, old movies on DVD.
That's right.
All of that. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.